Welcome on into the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Now, we're starting to get into the last quarter of the season. Most teams are around 20 games left, somewhere between 16 to 20 games left on their season. So I wanted to just use this episode to talk about the playoff picture, how things are looking, the differences in the conferences right now. So let's go ahead and start with the Western Conference. So the Western Conference is a lot more wide open than the East. The Suns are number one, and they are the top team right now by, I believe, 8.5 games. Like, they've got a big lead. They're going to be the number one team heading into the playoffs unless they lose every single game from this point on, and the team in second wins every single game. So they're going to be the number one seed heading into the playoffs. And then it keeps going back and forth between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. I believe right now the Grizzlies are number two, which is really cool to see. They're a very fun to watch team. They're very young, they're athletic. They have all the different aspects of the game covered. They have a true superstar in Ja Morant. And then at number three, of course, we got the Warriors, which I don't know about them. They looked really good to start the season. They got Klay Thompson back from injury. And really, since the time they got Klay back, they haven't been very good. And Steph was amazing in the first half of the season, and he's really cooled down a lot. I think he's only shooting like 34% from three, even though he's a career 43% from three. And then at number four is the Jazz. The Jazz had a really rough month of January, but in February and so far into March, they've been doing a lot better. They had kind of a disappointing loss last night against the Spurs, but for the most part, they've been heading on the right track. Number five is the Dallas Mavericks. Since they traded away Kristaps Porzingis, they've been going to a lot more small ball lineups, been spacing the floor out a lot. They have more athletes on the floor at once, and they're looking pretty good. They're looking kind of dangerous as a team. Number six is the Denver Nuggets. they've been kind of just hanging on this season. Michael Porter Jr. went down with a back injury pretty early in the year, even though he wasn't playing that well at the point he went out. I believe that he's talented enough to where he would have gotten things figured out by this point in the season. But he's been out all year with a back injury, which he also had back injuries heading into the draft, and that's why he fell as far as in the draft as he did. Like, going into his one college season, he was looked at as like one of the top three guys in that draft. And then also today it was reported that Jamal Murray, who's been out for the whole season after tearing his ACL, there's a 50-50 chance that he's going to be back this season for the playoffs. Which I kind of figured he'd be back right around the time of the All-Star break. So the fact that he's going to still be out for a little while longer, it's not a good sign for this Nuggets team as they head into the playoffs, because once you get into the playoffs, like, the teams are going to have enough time to defensive game plan that they're going to shut down Jokic if he doesn't have other options to go to. Number seven is actually the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've really got things rolling right now. Every now and then they'll put together, an embarrassing, Timberwolves type performance, but for the most part, they've got a pretty solid team. They've got, three really good scorers and Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and D'Angelo Russell. They surround those guys with defenders and Jared Vanderbilt, Patrick Beverley. They got a good scorer off the bench in Jalen Noel. Like, they're a pretty solid team. I don't think they'll go anywhere in the playoffs, but it's good to see that they're actually on the right track. And it didn't take a Jimmy Butler type trade just to get him into the playoffs this time. And at number eight is the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are, they've kind of given up on the season, but they're still just have so much talent that these teams that are on the bottom still can't get out in front of them. Paul George probably could come back from his injury, but he's staying out. Kawhi Leonard is gonna just probably sit out the whole entire year. They made the trade to get Norman Powell, which he's been helping them get extra wins. Which again, I don't know if they really want to be winning a ton of games and be in the playoffs this year. But again, they just have so much talent around their stars that when their stars are out, they're still like a 500 team. They're not that bad with even without Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And then the teams in the play-in, well, 7 and 8 are in the play-in as well, but your 9 and 10 teams, those teams that are on the fringe that are they're when you get into the play-in tournament, they have to win two games in the play-in tournament versus one to make their way in. You got the Los Angeles Lakers, which I gotta tell you, I very much enjoy the fact that the Lakers are in the play-in right now, that they're struggling so much, especially because they acted like they're creating a dynasty when they traded for Russell Westbrook. I remember talking about it on the podcast about how horrible of a trade that was, how he did not fit, he was going to get in the way, and that's exactly how things have gone down. And then 10th right now is the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans have been looking pretty good since they made the CJ McCollum trade. It's looking like right now that Zion Williamson's not going to play at all this year, and so that kind of takes away their chances of really doing something special. But I think if they can get Zion back and healthy, next season you put Valanciunas, Zion Williamson, Herbert Jones, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and Devontae Graham, all their top six players on a team together, they might have something special there. They've got athletes, they've got length, they've got some shooting, they've got guys that can go one on one and score if the offense breaks down. They're pretty decent on the defensive end. But this year I think they might be able to sneak their way into the playoffs, but I think they're probably in the play-in tournament and then they're out after one or two games there. And then you have the rest of the West, and most of those teams are like, we don't want to be in the playoffs. We want to just get to next season. We want to get to the lottery so we can get a high draft pick. Teams like the Spurs, the Rockets, the Thunder. But then you have teams, oh, and the Trailblazers. But then you have a team in the Kings that really want to be in the playoffs so badly. And even with other teams like trying to lose, the Kings can't get their way in right now, even into the play-in tournament. And they're pretty far out. I think they're about four games out of it right now. And so it's going to be extremely tough for them to find their way into even just the play-in tournament at this point. So now we'll go ahead and talk about the matchups there. So if everything stays the way it is, like today, the Suns would play against the Clippers at full strength. That would be an amazing matchup. The Clippers just have so many role players on that. They have their two big stars in Kawhi and Paul George, and then the Suns have been just absolutely fantastic this year. With Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, all, to varying degrees, looking like, high-end starter players. They've got a lot of good role players on this team. I think the Suns will handle the Clippers pretty easily. But again, if it was at full strength, that'd be a really fun matchup to watch. Then you have the Grizzlies versus the Timberwolves. This is two young teams, two up and coming teams. But that Clippers, that or that Grizzlies team, they're just so focused on their mission. I just really don't see, unless it gets into those top few teams, I don't see anybody beating them in these playoffs until you get to the Suns, the Warriors, the Jazz, maybe the Nuggets, and maybe the Mavericks could handle the Grizzlies at that point. And then you'd have, let's see, 3 versus 6 would be the Warriors versus the Nuggets. That could be a good matchup because the Warriors really don't have anybody that I think could do a good job defending Nikola Jokic. If James Wiseman was healthy, maybe he could handle it, but most of their really good defenders are somewhere between, 6'5" and 6'8". Guys like Andre Iguodala, Gary Payton the second is 6'3", Otto Porter 6'8", which Otto Porter is not a great defender, but I think he could handle guarding power forwards and centers. But Jokic, even though I don't think he's an MVP type guy, he's won the MVP. He's probably going to win it again. I don't think he's that high level of a player. He's still an extremely good center. And if you don't have anybody to stop him, he may be able to take over the matchup and actually beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. Because their centers, Kevon Looney is a decent center, but he's more of a switch guy. He's not a one-on-one, shut you down type guy. Nemanja Bjelica is a horrible defender, but he's out there to be a three-point shooter and a passer. And then, of course, they play Otto Porter a little bit at the backup center, but I just don't think he's big enough to handle a guy like Jokic. So that'd be a really interesting matchup to watch. I think I might actually give the edge. No, I still got to give the edge to the Warriors. They've still got Steph, Klay, and Draymond. But man, that'd be a good matchup to watch. And then 4-5 is the Jazz versus the Mavericks. That'd also be a really good matchup. They've been really close to each other when it's come to their matchups so far here in the regular season. I think if you get to the point where it's in a playoff series, and you're going Jason Kidd as a coach versus Quinn Snyder as a coach, and that's the deciding factor, it would have to be the Jazz. But that'd be a really good matchup for the Mavericks, I think. I think they have a good competitive edge against the Jazz, and for the Jazz, I think they would much rather play the Nuggets or one of the other two bottom teams, being the Timberwolves and the Clippers at that point. So then we'll move on into the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference has been really, really tight all throughout the year. They're just so in the East. Right now, the Miami Heat are number one. But the thing is, in the East, the difference between number one and number five right now is 4 games. Like I said, in the West, the difference between one and two is 8.5 games. So the East, I can tell you what the top 10 is today, and 3 days from now, it can look completely different. But so the Heat are number one right now. Going out and getting Kyle Lowry was a great trade for them. He has been fantastic for them. Provides a lot of defense at the point guard position, can come in and run the offense and keep things organized for Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. He's older, so he's not still the same all-star level player that he used to be, but he is a great fit there. And so is PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker has come in, been the starting power forward all throughout the season. Great defender, can knock down open, corner threes for them, and just gives them even more toughness. They're already a really tough team, and he just, amplifies that. And then when it comes to like the shooting guard position, they've got a lot of weapons there. Duncan Robinson's usually the starter. He's a great three-point shooter, can't do much on the defensive end. And then you have a guy like Max Strus, who's basically a clone of Duncan Robinson. Great, great three-point shooter. maybe a slightly better defender. But he doesn't have nearly the same gravity that Duncan Robinson does. Like Duncan Robinson, the reason he works so well for the Heat is the fact that he pulls defenders away. They're trying to stop him from getting open threes. Then, of course, you have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Jimmy Butler, is one of my favorite players in the league. He's just so tough. He's big bodied. He plays physical. His shooting continues to get better. He's a good passer. He's a good rebounder. Fantastic defender. And then Bam Adebayo is just such a versatile center. A guy. He hasn't really extended his range. He can hit about 15 footers, but I figured by now he could probably start knocking down threes. But that's just not his game. He's more of a power guy. He likes the pick and roll, alley-oops. He's a great defender in multiple aspects. He's good one-on-one. He's good as a switch defender. He allows the Heat to play in a lot of different looks on the defensive end. And then they've got a good bench with a guy like Max Strus coming off the bench. You got Tyler Herro, who might be the sixth man of the year this year. I think he's averaging 21 points a game coming off the bench. And pretty efficiently too, getting those 21 points. Dwayne Dedman's been a fantastic backup center for them. Omar Yurtseven has turned himself into a very good backup center. Gabe Vincent, who is a guy that they gave an opportunity out of the G League, has been a great backup point guard for them. They're going to be a very dangerous team to watch in the Eastern Conference. Then you have the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks were last year's champion. Giannis is absolutely fantastic as usual. If I was voting for MVP, he's my pick. Just every single night, he's getting right around 30 points, right around 12 rebounds, six assists, a couple blocks, a steal or two, and just being the overall leader for this Bucks team. He is fantastic. And then at three, currently you have the 76ers with the new duo of James Harden and Joel Embiid. Their play styles don't fit perfectly together, but just having that much talent on the floor, along with the guys like Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris has been a very good third scorer for them. Then they have guys off the bench like George Niang, freaking Korkmaz, that can help come in and space the floor. Matisse Thybulle is a fantastic defender for them at in that starting lineup. So in fourth place in the Eastern Conference is the Chicago Bulls. Now the Bulls, I'll give them their credit. I just didn't see the appeal of what they did this summer. I thought going out and spending so much money and assets on DeMar DeRozan was a mistake, but he's been awesome. He's averaging right around 25 points a game, six boards, six assists. And he and Zach LaVine just make such a dangerous tandem on the wing. Now, they struggle a little bit on the defensive end, but then they have guys like Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball to really put pressure on the other team's best offensive player. Nikola Vucevic got off to a really slow start this year, but he's picked things up and is looking more like himself. They're still dealing with Patrick Williams being injured throughout the whole season. That's a big blow to them. He's a good young wing that's got a lot of potential and could be really helpful to them in the playoffs. Kobe White's turned himself into a really good off the bench scorer. They can also come out and run the offense a little bit, keep the ball moving. Still has a long way to go as a point guard, but has been a good asset for them. I think their one big weakness is they just don't really have that solidified fifth starter. They keep rolling through guys like Jeff Green or Javonte Green, I mean. Derek Jones Jr., just super athletic guys that just kind of get thrown in there to be disruptors on the defensive end. Overall as a team, I think they're right up in there with that group. I think they're just as dangerous when we get into the playoffs, especially with the late game scoring ability of both DeRozan and LaVine. And fifth place in the East is the Boston Celtics. Now they have struggled all throughout the season. A little bit before the trade deadline, they started getting things figured out. They started work figuring out how to play for their new coach. They added a guy in Derek White who gives them a big punch off the bench and could also come in and start if they needed him to. I don't think they're going to make it past the first round, but they're a dangerous team too. They could very easily get things together, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have awesome playoffs, and all of a sudden they're in the conference finals. Let's see here. So number six in the Eastern Conference is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now their hopes of really doing something in the playoffs were dashed when Jared Allen got injured. It sounds like he is out for the rest of the season, maybe even all of the playoffs as well, which is really a big blow to them. They have a very good team together, a very awkward assembled team. They have a lot of size. They have great point guard play in Darius Garland, and then picking up Rajon Rondo helped fill the void that Ricky Rubio left open when he tore his ACL. Caris LeVert was a decent trade for them to get a guy that can score on the wing, give them a different option. Can be a guy late in game that you go to in isolation. Evan Mobley is my pick for rookie of the year. He's just been phenomenal playing at the four for them. Him and Jared Allen just make such a scary defensive duo. And then Lauri Markkanen's been pretty good for them at the three. But yeah, losing Jared Allen is going to be huge for them. I don't know how they're going to be able to compensate with this team now. But they still, if they're able to get things together, I think Darius Garland and Evan Mobley are so good that they might be able to win a playoff series, but I'm not counting on it. So then number seven is the Toronto Raptors. They've really fully invested into this, 6'7" to 6'9" athletic, long, big-bodied guys lineup. They for a long time they were starting OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, and Scottie Barnes all together. I think they're still experimenting with that. But then at the trade deadline, they went out and added Thaddeus Young, which is another guy just like that. Their backup centers are Kem Birch and Precious Achiuwa, which again, 6'9"-ish guys with good big bodies that are athletic, can do multiple things on the defensive end. They have guys on the bench like Delano Blanton and Chris Boucher that again, 6'9", long. They're not big-bodied guys, but they're still just athletic and in the way. They got those long limbs to help deflect the ball away. And then you have really good point guard play in Fred VanVleet. Gary Trent Jr. has been a great starting shooting guard for them. I think their biggest weakness is just not having enough scoring when it comes to the bench units. But they're a team that you can't take lightly. If you get them in the 2-7 or the 3-6 matchup. And then number eight in the East is actually the B Brooklyn Nets. They're looked at as the odds-on favorite at the beginning of the season. Kyrie Irving was out for most of the year because of his he didn't want to get vaccinated. And in the state of New York, they had all these laws saying that if you are a player that plays in the New York market and you're not like the visiting team, you're not allowed to play in home games unless you're vaccinated. Which I won't get too in depth or deep into, but I think is a load of crap. But anyway, they're dealing with that. And then James Harden and Kevin Durant, apparently there was just a lot of bickering in the locker room. Like they didn't get along too well together. And then now, James Harden is in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons still hasn't played yet for the Nets, but I think he actually is a pretty decent fit for them. Seth Curry's been a great pickup for them. He's stepped into that Josh Harris. I want to say Josh Harris, but for whatever reason, that doesn't sound correct. Harris got injured early on in the year. He's now had to get his surgery redone, so he's going to be out for the whole year. And Seth Curry's been able to step into that role as the coming off of screens, distracting the defense, 3-point shooter. Andre Drummond's been pretty decent for them as a center that could come and eat up, 16 to 20 minutes. LaMarcus Aldridge came out of retirement and has been a decent center for them. My big worry for them is that they're too reliant on Kevin Durant and that they don't have enough defense at the center position to where when they play, or even in the bigs at all, when they play, Giannis and the Bucks, there's no way they can stop Giannis with the team that they have right now. If you play the Heat, there's no way you can stop Bam Adebayo, with the team that you have. The Sixers, you stand zero chance against Joel Embiid. So they went from being the team that was looked at as like they're gonna win a championship, it's gonna be easy, people are gonna be calling the NBA rigged because of how they did it, and now they're the eight seed. Anyway, so 9 and 10 are the Hornets. The Hornets are a young team. They're exciting. They just don't have all the pieces quite yet. But they do have a bright future with LaMelo Ball running the team. And I have to admit, I was wrong on LaMelo Ball. I didn't think he was going to be anything special in the league, and he's been fantastic. He's been an all-star already. I've been saying fantastic a lot today. But he's been great. He's not a very good defender, but everything else that he does, he's lived up to the billing so far. So I was wrong on that one. Gordon Hayward has been just a solid vet for them, being that, first or second scoring option most of the time. Terry Rozier is a very good defender, and can help with that scoring punch too at the shooting guard position. Their one weakness is the center. They got a little bit better there by adding Montrezl Harrell, but you're starting Mason Plumlee, who's, an athletic center, but he's not a very good defender. He's not a very good scorer. And then Montrezl Harrell, who's a very good scorer and rebounder, but he's not a very good defender. He's only 6'7". And so that's where their weakness is going to be as well. But I think they stand a chance, at least in the play-in tournament, of making their way in. And then number 10 is the Atlanta Hawks, who went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I think got really cocky and full of themselves and decided that they could just coast throughout the year. Trae Young, after like 2 weeks into the season, said that basketball was boring to him at that point, which would scare me if I'm a Hawks fan. And they have some good talent on that roster. I just don't think it fits really well together yet. So I'm not really looking for too much from them when it comes into the playoffs. And then the next team would in the East would be the Wizards. Bradley Beal is out for the rest of the year. I think Kristaps Porzingis is probably going to sit out the rest of the year as well. So I wouldn't be expecting anything from them. And then the rest of the East, I'm really not expecting much out of them either. I know the Knicks would like to be in the playoffs, but they've really taken a step back from last year. They had some success last year, and even though they were rebuilding, they decided to double down and really go after more success, more veterans. which I thought I was really hoping that the Knicks were heading in a different direction, that they were going to take their time, go through a rebuild. And hopefully, that Cam Reddish trade that they made at the trade deadline is a sign that they're deciding, like, okay, we jumped the gun a little bit on this, but we're still in a position to where we can start building around these young guys still. So I'm hoping that's what they do. The Orlando Magic are obviously a rebuilding team. But they have a pretty decent young core. They've got some good guards. The problem is with all their guards, none of them are really true point guards, and none of them are really true shooting guards. They're all these combo guards. You got Cole Anthony, Markelle Fultz, Jalen Suggs, and all three of those guys are still very young. What's his name? RJ Hampton as well. They're all very young. They're athletic. They have their different strengths. Anthony and Fultz are really good scorers. Suggs is a pretty decent team leader type guy, even though he struggled in his first year so far. RJ Hampton is more of a defender, 3-and-D type guy. And then you have, your young big and Wendell Carter Jr. I think he's kind of the big of the future. Mobamba's made strides, but he may become too expensive for them this offseason. Jonathan Isaac hasn't played at all this year, but when he has been healthy in the past, he is an absolute freak. And if he could stay healthy, I think he's the future of the NBA. He's 6'11", probably closer to 230-ish right now at this point. So he's put on a lot of muscle. But he can defend every single position. He reminds me a lot of Andre Kirilenko when he was in his prime as a defender, where he can guard 1 through 5. He can get, 3 blocks a game, but he can also get a couple steals in a game, and is just constantly in the way. So they're a team to look out for in the next, 3 to 5 years or so. But as of right now, they're just trying to accumulate assets and put a team together. Also with them, Franz Wagner has been great for them this year. He's been their best rookie. Even though he's drafted a few spots behind Jalen Suggs, he's been their best. He's 6'9", 6'10". He's a big bodied guy. That can play the 3 or the 4. And I think he's gonna be a great player in this league for a long time. The Detroit Pistons are a rebuilding team. They do have their star of the future, at least they think they do. And Cade Cunningham, he's averaging about 16 points, 6 boards, 6 assists for the year. So he's, I think, probably by year three, he's going to be a guy where he's going to start getting close to averaging a triple double, while averaging well over 20 points, probably close to 25 a game. So he's, I think, their superstar of the future. Isaiah Stewart looks like he could be their starting center of the future. He reminds me a ton of, Ben Wallace. I don't think he's ever going to be that insane of a defender, but he brings a lot of the same attributes. And he can space the floor a little bit. Sadiq Bey, I think, is going to be a good part or a good guy for them going forward. At the in the on the wing, Killian Hayes really has not looked good. They started bringing him off the bench kind of as a sixth man, and he's looked better there. But he's still not like a guy that they were hoping they were drafting when they took him. I think they took him, was it 7th overall or 5th overall, something like that last year. He's still got a long way to go before he's a viable starting option in the league. But they have some young talent going forward. And I really like it when teams go like, okay, things are not working out. We're gonna full on rebuild. We're not gonna kind of half do this. We're gonna we're gonna go full on into the young guys, and the veterans we bring in are gonna be guys that are good for the locker room, that are gonna mentor these guys along. That they're not gonna bring, we're not gonna bring in veterans that make us win more games. So then we get a little excited and decide to whole scrap the whole rebuild idea, and then we're right back where we started, being somewhere in the 6 to 8 seed, or maybe barely outside of the playoffs, sitting there wondering like what it is, what we need to do now to actually become one of the better teams. So now into the matchups in the Eastern Conference. So 1 versus 8 would be the Miami Heat versus the Brooklyn Nets. As I said before, I think the Nets would have zero answer for Bam Adebayo. I think he could dominate that series. And then Jimmy Butler, they would put Kevin Durant on him. I think if they're hoping that Ben Simmons is ready to go for the playoffs to where they could put Ben Simmons on him. And now things are starting to even out a little bit. But I think the Heat just have too much talent. They have too many guys to go to. I think the Heat would end up winning that series pretty easily, I believe. But the Nets do still have a lot of talent. They still have Kevin Durant. And so I definitely would not want to run into the Brooklyn Nets with my first round matchup. 2 versus 7 right now would be the Bucks versus the Toronto Raptors. That would be a really interesting series because the Raptors basically built their roster around guys that can guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. There we go. Giannis Antetokounmpo. That he's young, I think, could do a decent job on him. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Cam Birch, Precious Achiuwa, Chris Boucher. I think you could seriously, say Giannis plays 35 minutes. Let's see, let's count this out. So you got Barnes, Siakam, Anunoby, Birch, Achiuwa, Boucher, and Young. So you have 7. So he plays 35. 5 times 7 is 35. So you could seriously play all 7 of those guys 5 minutes a piece on Giannis as their primary defender against him, just constantly showing him a different option. So that could be dangerous there. But I think the Bucks, it's not just Giannis. They also, Brook Lopez is coming back from injury. They added Serge Ibaka during the trade deadline. Bobby Portis has been a great center for them so far throughout the year. Chris Middleton is a great number two. Jrue Holiday does a great job running the team and is a fantastic defender. I think the Bucks just have too much for the Raptors at that point. Number 3 and 6 is the 76ers versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, if both teams were fully healthy, now you're having a really good matchup there. I think the 76ers still would have the edge. But now that the Cavs won't have Jared Allen to throw at Joel Embiid, and they're going to have to go with like Evan Mobley, Lauri Markkanen, Ed Davis, I think they're definitely at a disadvantage there. And then the Cavs really just don't have any wing defenders. It's, maybe Isaac Okoro could do it a little bit, but there's really nobody that can handle James Harden. So I think the 76ers would kind of easily handle the Cavaliers in the first round there. And then the 4-5 would be the Bulls versus the Celtics. That actually be a really good matchup because the Bulls don't really have anybody to guard Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I mean, Caruso and Ball can do it a little bit, but they're a little undersized at that point, even though both of them are, 6'5", 6'6"-ish. Especially Tatum, he's a big guy. He's 6'8", 6'9", somewhere around there, 235, 240. I think the I really don't think Robert Williams would have much effect at center against Nikola Vucevic, because Vucevic can space the floor. He doesn't have to dominate right around the basket, but then I think he could do really well right around the basket because he's got 4 inches on Williams. Even though Williams is a very good rim protector, Vucevic is a two-time All-Star, so that'd be an interesting matchup there. Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'd have to give the edge to the Bulls, just because, what DeRozan and Zach LaVine can do at the end of a game. But it'd be a good matchup there. Yeah, so this is just a, this episode was just to kind of go over how things are looking as we head into the last, quarter or of the season, and then head on into the playoffs, just to kind of update you on the teams that are there, that are in playoff contention right now. And then just a little look at potential matchups, but we'll go way more in depth into the matchups when we actually get to the beginning of the playoffs. But with that, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day and bye.